This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
And it's true. Here is your host,
yes.
Steve Ulscher.
Glad to see you.
And Mary Goulet. Man, what a... God, I just, there's so much to cover. I feel like we should do this. We're going to start doing this every day. That's it. From now on, we're just going to do it. As a matter of fact, we're going to do it 24 hours a day. We're just never going to stop. You ever see that episode? You don't watch SpongeBob, right?
Oh, I did. I love SpongeBob. You know what I...
My wife and I, we quote SpongeBob like way too frequently. But there's this one episode where...
We're starting off on a high note, folks.
Where SpongeBob, basically Mr. Krabs decides he wants to keep the Krusty Krab open for 24 hours. And it's this whole, like, and of course, you know, SpongeBob is like, you know, out of his mind excited because he's like, cool, I'm flipping burgers at night, taking out the trash at night. Anyway, so yeah, we'll just do this 24
that's
hours
so
a day,
funny.
7 days a week.
Well, you know what
that's
I heard?
Plan.
I Tell don't
me.
Know if this is true, but somebody told me that if somebody's wondering if a person is a terrorist, they ask this question. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
See, we make things way too complicated. And there you go. So that's, you know, the TSA. There we go. We're going to reinvent the TSA right now. That's how we're going to find out whether or not there are terrorists. We're just going to ask them who lives in a pineapple under the sea. That's great. Awesome. Well, welcome to Reinvention Radio. It's,
yes.
Another lovely, lovely day here. And, man, I got to tell you, lots going on in the last week that I, like I said, we got to do this all the time because there's just way too much going on that I definitely want to cover. Not the least of which is I went, for the first time to the San Diego County Fair.
Oh, no, it's called the Del Mar Fair.
Is it the Del Mar Fair? Okay.
Oh,
see?
My gosh. When they changed Elm in Carlsbad to the Carlsbad Village Drive.
Yes.
That was a huge uproar.
Yeah, I remember
and
people telling
me
that one.
Oh, jeez. Still bugs me. And then when they changed the Del Mar Fair.
Yeah, to the San Diego County Fair.
Like the county just... Yeah.
All right. I don't care what they call it. It's just, it's like, it's a fucking train wreck. Have you been? You've probably been. How long has it been since you've been? It's been a while.
A couple of years.
Okay. So, you know how basically you go to Walmart? And like the people that go to Walmart, and I don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I'll go to Walmart for a bargain, but mostly I go to Walmart for entertainment, you know, because I don't know where these people fucking come from.
I know it. It doesn't matter where it is. It could be in Beverly Hills.
I'm telling you.
And people would still show up.
And if you're like super bored, and hopefully you're not bored like right in the middle of this show right now, but if you're super bored, if you Google like the women of Walmart.
Oh, no way. Seriously?
Oh, my God. It's brutal. It's brutal. And, you know, actually, I got to take that back. It's pretty damn impressive. I am impressed that people, like, will go out in public looking how they do. Because you know how, like, you know, I think way back when we talked about how keeping it real can go too far. Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that? So that's these people and men, too. I mean, but, you know, mostly it's the ladies who try to squeeze into things that they probably
shouldn't.
But that's kind of how the fair felt to me, you know. And at the same token, I was the first to line up and get a Krispy Kreme triple cheeseburger. Did you see that? Yeah, so it's a triple cheeseburger set between two Krispy Kreme donuts.
Was it good?
I'm a diabetic now, but yes, I will tell you that it was exceptional. My favorite thing at the fair, though, by the way, was they do deep fried like everything, right? Like
Twinkies,
deep fried Twinkies, butter sticks, Snickers, whatever. My favorite was the...
Not a butter stick. Oh, my gosh. That's so gross. Okay, what's your favorite?
My favorite was the deep-fried Slim Fast bar. You know, like one of the...
Contradiction in terms.
like one of those, you know, fudgicle-looking things. Yeah, so they had a deep-fried Slim Fast bar. Now, that was awesome. Yeah, very cool. All right, so lots of interesting things happened.
The fair is known for the crazy food.
Oh, man. All right, so a couple different things to go over real quick here before we jump into what's going to be a pretty damn exciting show, and I'm thrilled that we've got...
Wow.
We're going to be reinventing ex-cons, and how sweet is that? So we're going to be doing that in a little bit. So if you have anything on your record, felony misdemeanors and all that fun stuff, we're going to have someone who's going to be on the show who's going to help work you back to a life that you love and get you a job that actually pays you what you deserve and, you know, really get to the point of, like, you know, normalcy as much as normalcy can be had after you've become a convicted felon. So anyway, before we jump into that, which is going to be super exciting, I'm looking forward to that. Did you catch, they just passed here in California, it is SB 277. We'll do a little quiz. Do you know what SB 277 is?
Is it the vaccine?
It is the vaccine. And you know, from my perspective, what is the hubbaloo? I mean, really, because why wouldn't you get your kids vaccinated? We got to have Jenny McCarthy on.
Oh, right? Brother.
So we're going to reinvent Jenny McCarthy, and we're going to reinvent this whole, like, vaccination thing, because I don't get it. I mean, maybe you can enlighten me here, because I don't understand what the fuss is all about. But I don't want my kids going to school with children that haven't been vaccinated when this is something that we know can eliminate the disease.
So I did not vaccinate my kids when they were little.
And so here we go.
Here we go.
Okay. And do they have autism?
No, they do not.
And are they like, are they okay?
They're super healthy.
Okay. So there you go, right?
I always want that.
Why didn't you vaccinate your kids?
Because, well, okay, let's just set the stage. I home birth my babies.
You home birth?
Yes.
So like you were watching like Sanford and Son, just, you know, flipping through the channels. I can tell. Because the people who like do home birth, I envision like, you know.
No. The main reason I wasn't sick.
That's what we should do for terrorists, by the way.
Yes.
If you can't do the Sanford and Son theme, yeah, then you're a terrorist. No doubt. Okay, so you're sitting at home on the couch watching Sanford and Son, and all of a sudden your water broke, and you're like, fuck it, I'm just gonna have the baby right here. I mean, basically, that's kind of what happened. No? Or this was planned.
It was planned.
You wanted this to happen.
Yes.
All right. And you probably homeschooled your kids, too.
No.
Oh, so you got to draw the line somewhere. Okay. So let me get this straight. You birth your kids at home.
Yes.
You don't vaccinate them, but you send them to public school.
Private school.
Ah, good. So at least they're going to infect.
Just the elite. But you know what?
Oh,
about it. Most of the people that are at risk are the ones that have an autoimmune disease. They have, you know, cancer. They have something going on and their system is weakened. You don't really hear about.
No, that's the death, though. The deaths come from the weakened immune system,
mm-hmm.
Right? And in the last, I mean, it's scary because this year, or at least this year to date, 178 people have contracted the virus. Last year.
Which virus?
Measles. Sorry.
Measles.
Yeah. I'm talking specifically about measles. Do people even get rubella anymore? Does that still exist? Because you get that MMR shot is basically what you didn't go for, which is the measles, mumps, and rubella.
Exactly.
I don't even know what rubella is. Do you guys know what rubella is?
It's a vegetable.
Exactly. Kelly probably knows. Kelly, you know what rubella is.
Well, I have to go back. I did have my kids vaccinated.
We
got to
put up the phone number. What's the phone number, by the way? I can't even see. Someone took down my sign, and now I don't even know the phone number here.
977-2346.
866-977-2346 and hit number one?
Yep.
Okay.
Studio A.
I need my sign. If you know what rubella is or if you didn't vaccinate your kids, will you let me know? Because I'm curious why somebody wouldn't do that. Thanks, man. See, I need my sign back. That's awesome.
Did I have the right number?
You did have the right number. I think you had 866-977-2346.
There
you go. Pumpkins, number one. Okay, so you're sitting at home. You have the baby right then and there. Actually, you had two babies. So you did this once, mm-hmm. And you decided it was so much fun. I'm just going to do it the same way again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It worked great.
And you did this by yourself. You cut the umbilical cord.
No. I had a room full of people. So I had a midwife. I had several apprentices. My friend who was an RN was there.
Mm-hmm.
For the first one. Let's see.
Did you do why? I'm just curious, like, why?
Why did I home birth?
Why did you home birth?
Because I'm like off the charts afraid of hospitals. I can't even go into a hospital without having a panic attack.
We're going to reinvent your relationship
weird.
With hospitals. No, somebody died in a hospital, right? Somebody died. Like, you didn't lose anybody?
Not in a hospital, no.
So there's something deep-seated there that we've got to, in the past life.
Yeah, and I also, well, here's another thing. When I started out with my first baby, I did have an OBGYN.
Okay.
And then at 22 weeks, I went and had an amniocentesis. And I was in the hospital, and right after that, I got in the elevator, and I turned to my husband, and I said, not doing that again, and I'm home birthing.
Mm.
And found a midwife right away.
Interesting. So here's basically what the SB 277 talks about.
Yeah, we're
back to that, right? So what they talk about is you've got to be vaccinated for diphtheria. This is like a game. I don't even know what the hell some of these things are. So diphtheria, you have to be vaccinated for. Haemophilus influenza type B. I assume that's some sort of flu thing.
Yeah.
Measles, mumps, pertussis. We'll play a game. Do you know what pertussis is?
Pertussis.
All right, it's the whooping cough.
Oh, yeah.
Whooping cough.
Yeah, okay.
Poliomyelitis. I don't even eat that lettuce. Do you know what lettuce is that one? I don't know. Rubella, tetanus, which I guess
tetanus
sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Hepatitis B and varicella. Ooh, we'll play that game. Do you know what varicella is?
No. Varicose veins?
Well, yes. We vaccinated our kids against varicose veins.
Just preventative.
Yeah, it's like the HPV thing, basically. It prevents people from getting chicken pox. It's the same thing, right? Sort of.
Okay, that's fine. So they didn't put meningitis in there?
They don't care if you have meningitis. You can go to school with meningitis. That doesn't seem to be an issue. But basically, children who want to enter preschool, kindergarten, or the seventh grade, evidently, would not be able to change schools without the mandatory vaccination. So some of them are going to get grandfathered in. Others are going to have to get it. And, it's definitely something that we should at least get some input on from others at some point down the line. So,
yeah, well, my kids have been vaccinated for some things, especially tetanus, whooping cough, meningitis.
And all that fun stuff.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
interesting.
I'm not completely off the rails.
Well, I am. All right, check it out. So after the break, we're going to do some reinventing ex-cons. And
right,
we'll be right back with Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
Right?
Okay.
You
so,
like that better, don't you?
All right. So we're on Periscope, which is awesome.
That's better. I love Wade, but that's better, right?
It's better.
Because Lenny's my boy.
All right. Because I was like, what are you doing?
Matter of fact, I there's no way I'm gay, but.
I never know what you're going to say.
but if Lenny comes knocking, I don't know if I can say no.
Okay.
I mean, look, I've got Let Love Rule tattooed on my forearm. Do you know what that is?
No.
Lisa knows what that is. Lisa Forbes knows what that is, right? Lisa, you're on, right? Hi.
I am on.
You know what Let Love Rule is, right?
I know what it is for me. I don't know what it is on your forearm.
Oh, man. So, by the way, so we fired Wade. So Wade's gone, and he's no longer doing the reentry, stuff for us. So
fired.
Sorry, Wade.
Owns the studio.
He owns the studio. I guess that is true. All right. So super excited to have Lisa on. And, Lisa, I'm going to let you tell your story, of course. But what I want to kind of position this as is an opportunity for anyone who has had any sort of criminal record, any sort of questions about, I believe the word that you use is restored, which I assume you mean is sort of restoring one's sanity, restoring
reputation,
one's life, restoring one's, et cetera, right? I mean, let's just jump into that, Lisa. So we got Lisa Forbes on, and we're going to be talking about, now, I know you were in sort of that reinventing employees mode, and I vetoed that and threw it right into reinventing ex-cons. So I hope you're not mad about that. Because I know you do a lot of different things. But really, from my standpoint, one of the most interesting parts of this whole conversation is the fact that you not only, of course, help those who have served time, but you served yourself.
Correct. And actually, I love the fact that you threw out reinventing employees and took it straight to the heart of the message.
I like that. I'm kind of good like that, right?
Because really what I focus on is reinventing the public perception and also the personal perception of who we call ex-cons.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I do is reinvent language. The term that I use is restored citizens. And the way that that came about is when a person completes their parole, they get a piece of paper saying that all of their rights to citizenship, except the right to own a firearm, and in some lagging states, the right to vote still, but other than that, all of their rights to citizenship are fully restored.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you telling me that an ex-con cannot vote?
In some states.
In some states, they can. So if you've got a, this would be a felony only, though. If you've got a misdemeanor, you can still vote. But if you've got a felony, you cannot vote in certain states?
Correct.
That is nuts.
It is nuts.
But they can get married to some same-sex marriage.
Well, yeah, now that they can do. We'll talk about that, actually, in the next episode. But one of the things that I want to just jump in here real quick, Lisa, because I know you've got, you know, a lot of fun stuff that you're doing for these guys and really, really, really helpful. But I want to try to go back to your being a 20-year-old mother.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a 20-year-old single mother. Were you living in Chicago at that point? Where were you at?
At that point, I was in Wisconsin, but I'm originally from Chicago.
Yeah, and I could understand why you would want to go to prison instead of living in Wisconsin. I mean, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I'd probably do that if my buddy Dobie Maxwell, he's from Wisconsin, and he served time just so he could get out of that place. I get it. So what on earth happened that got you convicted to a 25-year sentence?
Well, I was convicted of homicide.
Well, that'll do it.
Right. So,
wow.
But the thing that my personal story, the issue there is that it's difficult to really hate or not understand a person if you know their real story. And most of the times, the story that you get from the state's attorney's statement of facts is not even close to the person's story.
Mm-hmm.
Everything leads up to something. And so some people can tell a different story about their childhood and this event and how that happened, and none of that is told as an excuse. But what I ask people is, if there's a plane crash or an automobile crash, an investigation into how it occurred, it is mandatory, not necessarily to, in the end, say, oh, well, the pilot or the driver was not responsible for what they did. But we need to know how little kids go from being somebody who could read when they were three. I graduated from high school when I was 15, and on a parallel track, here's Condoleezza Rice with the same story, and here I am with the same story. One person ends up Secretary of State. One person ends up in prison. Something happened that made two people who were on comparable paths to start off with wind up with such a divergent end.
You know what? And, I mean, I can certainly see why there would be a conversation around that, but what I'm trying to figure out is, did you do it?
Of course I did it.
Oh, well, good. See, I like her. I like her.
No, this is the whole point to restoration. Restoration is personal. Part of personal restoration is accepting responsibility for who you are. My position on that is, I know what I did, I know why I did it, and I know how I got there, and I know the path to get from there to here.
Okay, let's go back. So why did you do it? What did you do?
And
how did you do it?
And it must have been a guy.
It was my daughter's father.
Your daughter's father. Okay.
So without.
Wait a minute. You were 20.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's.
A single mom.
Your daughter's father. I got it. Okay.
Okay. A little slow on the go there.
You know what? They recently passed legislation that I can smoke, whatever I want, wherever I want in California. So that, you know, just in case, Lisa, you're, you know, wondering where my head is at. That's where it's at. So, all right. So it was your daughter's father. Okay. Was he was abusive. He was threatening. What happened?
You know, Steve, I'm not going to make any negative statements about what he was or was not, because there is nothing that someone could be that justifies anybody else assuming that they have the right to exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, exonerating myself is not my point. My point is that I did my time.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you serve?
I served 14 years total of a 25-year sentence.
Wow.
So having done my time, having completed my parole, having papers that say I'm a restored citizen, my question is, why would a person come out from all of that and still be treated as if they are not a citizen?
Mm-hmm. Now, did you shoot this man?
No.
I'm totally intrigued. Can you at least share how it happened? I've never talked to anybody who murdered someone before.
Okay, well, have me on as a part two for my personal story.
Okay.
But have me on right now for for reinvention.
Exactly. Right. All right, fair enough. So you did it and it wasn't a gun. You served 14 years.
Right.
And was it a maximum security prison or was it sort of like Orange is the New Black?
No, maximum security.
Wow. And
in fact, when you have me back on, I'll tell you about my attempted escape.
Ooh.
Wow, you are just a very colorful person.
I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. You definitely want to hear about the escape at another time. All right, so you serve your 14 years. And by the way, how does one only serve 14 years for, that was first degree murder?
Yes. Good behavior?
No, well, in that state, in some states you only serve a percentage of your time, and then you serve a certain amount on parole.
Mm-hmm.
So 50% of a 25-year sentence is 12 and a half years.
Gotcha. And so the actual...
But then I had an additional sentence because of the attempted escape.
Mm.
So that's how I got to a 28 total, and I served 14.
At what point during the 14 did you decide, I've got to get out of here? Was that like year two? Was that like week one?
After a couple of years.
After a couple of years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay.
All right. So now your whole thing is you want society not to judge people who have done their time and let them have some of the same rights.
I want society to do it, but first of all, the first step would not be for society to do it, but for restored citizens themselves to do it. And that is how I came up with the workshop that I do, which is called BBOP, which is Bringing Equilibrium to the Balance of Power.
Mm.
Because my position on that is no one can do for you what you won't do for yourself. And so if you're not stepping into your full citizenship rights because you don't know what they are, you don't feel qualified to do them, or you feel judged, that is one of the issues of this is employment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing, Steve. When I was inside, I took every class offer, every degree I could get, every certificate I could get, paralegal, you name it. I did it all. Now, I know people who are doing that, and now they have come out. They have a bachelor's degree. They have a paralegal certificate. They can't get hired.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're lucky to be making a minimum wage job. And the position that I take when I do these trainings with employers or with the city or because everyone needs mindset change on this issue is you can't keep people out of the workforce who are qualified to be there when the primary issue is fear.
Mm-hmm.
We have to address the underlying fear.
But you got to understand, I mean, if you've murdered someone, there's going to be fear.
Because
a rational mind says, I want to kill. I mean, believe me, there have been plenty of time. Matter of fact, earlier today, I said to myself, if I could, I would kill this person.
You're terrible.
Well, no, I'm not lying. And so, you know, I'm riding down my motorcycle on the LA freeway and, you know, doing the white lines in between the cars. And, you know, of course, somebody decides to change lanes without a signal or anything of that nature. And when you're going that fast, it's somebody you want to kill. All right. Because clearly they wanted to kill me. But you can understand people's reticence, though, Lisa. I mean, to want to hire someone who has been in a situation where, you know, by all societal measures, people would look at that decision and say that is not a decision that a sane person makes.
And perhaps it is, perhaps it is not. It depends on the context. But it also depends on the time. It also depends on what the person has done since. I mean, we can't afford to think in these little black and white boxes of, you know, what makes a good employee, what makes not a good employee, what makes a person sane. A person can be sane one minute and insane the next. If people pass background checks all the time and then 2 years later when they're fired, they come and shoot up the place. They had no background.
Okay, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Lisa. We're coming up on a commercial break. Will you hang with us through to the next segment?
Sure.
Yeah, this is a great topic and I'm really excited to hear some more about it.
All
we'll
right.
be right back on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right. This is a good one. I mean, I got to tell you, and I mean good one from the standpoint of, you know, Lisa, I'm not trying to make light of any of this because I certainly applaud the work that you're doing. You just got to understand from sort of a white average type person's perspective.
Not normal.
It's tough for me to get my arms around this whole I murdered someone thing, and being able to get out of the system to be a, you know, to come back to society is just one of those things where I'm not saying I advocate against doing your time and coming back to society as a contributing member. I'm just, as you said, you know, it's only really God's right or option, or depending on how you look at it, to decide, you know, who should live, who should die, and when all of that should happen. So
the reason that I am choosing to represent this issue because is in fact I represent the extreme end. But most of the people who are having these problems are people who had drug offenses or thefts or anything like that. Anything that's a felony. So this would be the extreme issue. I am not just talking about violent crime. I'm talking about people. One in four Americans, Steve, cannot pass a background check.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting you bring that up because this day and age of technology and craziness that we're going through, I can't volunteer at my daughter's school unless they put my fingerprints and everything through the justice system.
One in four Americans. So it's not just all homicidal maniacs. Mm-hmm. It's a huge number of American citizens who are having this problem. In fact, you know, the EEOC issued guidance a few years ago trying to encourage employers to stop discriminating, basically, against people by not even considering them before. They didn't even have the opportunity to tell their story.
Okay.
So one of the ways that the states responded is by passing ban-the-box laws. But the unfortunate thing about that is EEOC has undertaken that as litigation, suing companies, trying to force people. And to me, you can't force people to not be afraid. This has to be education and advocacy. It's not litigation.
So what are you doing in your day-to-day life to bring awareness to the fact that, hey, these people have done their time. You don't need to fear them anymore. They are employable. They have education.
It's mindset training, which I do in my bebop trainings. I do it for the reason I have Bringing Equilibrium to the Balance of Power trainings for Restore Citizens, for reentry workers.
Okay, so where do you do this? Do you go to corporations? Do you do public events?
And who's in the audience? Is it the ex-cons or is it the actual corporations or both?
It's both. It's both, as well as reentry workers, because the idea is I can't have mindset change among the restored citizens, and there's still no one else who wants to talk to them. Basically, I serve as a liaison. My goal is to serve as a liaison between those two groups, because between those two groups, if you see me standing, you would not know in which category I stood, frankly, if I did not tell you. So with my personal history on both sides of the fence, I have credibility in both worlds. And my passion is to bring these people together in a way that makes the corporations and the business owners feel that people who have been closest to the problem are the ones who also have the solution. No one who has not walked in my shoes could have walked me out of it.
How many millions of people are we talking about right now that have felony, you know, some sort of felony conviction
anywhere
on their record?
Anywhere from 65 to 100 million.
No.
Yes. One is 65. The national,
are we talking like worldwide? There's only like 12 people in America.
The National Employment Law Project estimates that as many as 65 million Americans
have a felony.
Not necessarily a felony, but have a conviction that would show up on a routine criminal background.
Okay, so out of curiosity, I'm an entrepreneur, have been for 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I joke that I'm not employable in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it inventing a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So who pays you, or how do you charge for your service so you can?
Yeah. What are you doing right now for work? So how many years ago did you get out?
I got out 15 years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
So
got it.
Since then, I've been working in corporate America in various at various levels.
How hard was it for you to find a position when you got out after serving your time?
It wasn't that difficult for me, but
well, you're a sharp, sharp woman. I mean, you're not like, you know, when I think of someone who murders somebody,
yeah,
you're not like, that's not the picture I would draw.
No, you're very articulate and very direct and very
right. I picture the people
strong.
That go to Walmart. I mean, like,
yeah, exactly.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the women of Walmart, that's who I picture just like, yeah, I got nothing to lose. I'm just going to, you know, this tube top used to fit, but I'm still going to wear it for the next 16 years and I'll murder somebody tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'm just curious. I mean, you worked in corporate America, you got work, and then you started doing this.
Right. Well, if I work as an independent contractor when I do this. I have contracts. I work with cities, or I work with organizations. But I also have been, one of the reasons that I'm really stepping out into this is because I want to monetize it so that it's what I can do primarily. I could really expand my reach if I could do this primarily.
Okay, so what about trying to apply for a grant and have it be, and one of the, like you said, you're a liaison from when they walk out of the door with their couple hundred bucks
mm-hmm.
to, all right, now we've got it. Or even going into the prison system knowing that, guys, this is what you're going to have to prepare for.
Right. Yes. And so those are all strategies that, you know, that my company, Lisa Forbes Inc., is looking into it and is taking advantage of. But the primary issue here is to get the message out to that reinvention is possible, because mm-hmm. so many people don't even think it's possible, and all that they see is the television stereotype, or you know, the latest person, whoever is dragged across the face of the local news program.
Now, let me ask you a question. I mean, does this I guess kind of draw against, you know, racial lines here? In other words, is it more difficult for an African American felon to get employment more so than it would be for a white or Hispanic felon?
Well, all kinds of studies have shown that is the case, and it doesn't even have to be felon. It's just the last name makes a difference. So we know we're including racial bias in it, but Steve, when you're talking about 65 million Americans, this is beyond race.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond ethnicity. It's across both genders. It's across sexuality. This is an American issue, and it's an economic issue, because if I could be working at a level where I could buy homes, buy cars, sustain myself, I have the education and I have the qualifications, and because I can't get into the workforce, you have to take care of me.
All right, let's run through
an economic issue for America.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And let's run through this real quick. So if somebody has a misdemeanor on their record, or if they have a felony conviction on their record, what do you tell them to do at this juncture? Forget about those that are in prison that are about to come out. I'm talking about the people that are already out and struggling. What do you tell them to do?
Trying to find housing even.
Most of what I'm asked to do is to provide both soft skills training and hard skills training. And actually, the hard skills training is the easy part.
What's the difference between the two of soft and hard? I mean, my wife knows the difference, but I'm not sure I know the difference.
Hard skills training is basically the things that would be on your resume. Do you know how to work this software? Do you know what school did you graduate from? What degrees do you have? Your list of your skills. The soft skills are the areas where the fears come in. Presentation, the tattoo on your neck, okay, the hard to top that doesn't fit, the language, the personal hostilities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is also some reinvention of the restored citizen for themselves. If a person is filled with rage and anger that they've never dealt with and they're out, people, that's going to come across in your interview. So is any sense of entitlement or any sense the soft skills are the areas of presentation, clothing, social skills, culture. If you're in an organization, you have to fit in. I am not advocating that corporations should create a subclass of employees who have to be kept down in the basement because everybody else is afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that when you reinvent yourself, you reinvent yourself to a way to you are what you are in that organization is one of their best and most valued employees.
Okay,
and that's what you are.
Here's the thing, Lisa. Isn't there a sense of privacy? Let's say somebody does get hired, even though the background check showed they had prison time.
Mm-hmm.
They do get hired, and the upper-level guys know it,
mm-hmm.
but don't they have a level of privacy? Like, hey, you don't have to put it out on the speaker to the rest of the employees.
Is that like a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's not that it goes up on the bulletin board, but my point is that it is the hiring manager's decision themselves, that it's the decision maker who has to have the mindset change.
Mm-hmm.
The decision maker is the one if the decision maker is afraid of you, the rest of the staff don't even get to contact you.
Yeah.
So I'm working with decision makers as to why when you're looking at this person, I want you to look at them for their qualifications,
okay,
not for their history.
How do you guarantee the rehabilitation took place and that they're not going to commit another crime?
Well, that is not something that anyone can guarantee for another human being. Because even if a person passed a background check, I can't guarantee that 3 years from now they're not going to go nuts in your office, and neither can you. So I'm asking you to.
But you also can't guarantee that anyone will do that. I mean, someone who doesn't have a conviction on their record. I mean, you get all those posts.
Right,
you know, you go postal,
point.
Right? I mean,
that's my point. So what I'm saying is, there are repeated studies across decades that show that after a certain period of time has passed, some depending on the crime, it's anywhere from 3 years to 7 years. The probability of a person who has
decreases.
Not reoffended within that period of time is zero.
Well, Lisa, let's do this because we got to pay the bills around here, so we're going to jump to another commercial break. But definitely want to have you finish up the show with us. So we're going to keep you on for another segment here, just because this is so interesting. And if you want to join in the conversation, the number here is 866-977-2346 and hit number one. Again, 866-977-2346. Hit number one, and we are talking about reinventing ex-cons here on Reinvention
also,
Radio.
We're on Twitter, Periscope. So
Periscope, right.
Us.
Yeah, come see us live on Periscope.
Us.
Yay. All right, cool.
We'll
talk
right
to
back.
You.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
Okay, this is Mary Goulet opening this last segment. Hey, Lisa, it's a little bit of a shorter segment, so we have to try and be pithy with getting as much information about your program. Couple questions. You have to work both sides of this equation. You've got to get the people coming out of being incarcerated to know you are here for a service to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to make the case with maybe human resource departments.
Right.
And say, This is important to take into consideration when I would think they would probably in the back of their mind say, yes, that's an awesome, noble thing to do. However, I don't have time for this and I don't care. I have no idea what their response is, but what is your experience with the people coming back out into society and then the corporation, what they, their take on it?
Well, the most of the corporations have, we emphasize the tax incentives and some of the benefits that they have to hiring people with felony convictions.
So what are those for the people that don't know? What if you're a corporation, you hire a convict, what do you call a restored? You,
that's restored your word. Citizen.
A restored, yeah. Exactly. If you hire a restored citizen, what kind of benefits do they get?
There are tax benefits. You can also get lots of help with various paperwork and things that you need to fill out, the tax benefits, because that is one thing that a lot of corporations say. That
so there's a monetary benefit?
Correct. Also with the Offices of Economic Development, they have grants. They will pay a certain percentage of the person's salary for the first year or so if you're willing to take them in and train them. So there's a whole list of benefits that we emphasize that really we find that a lot of HR departments don't know. The main thing we address, because people really don't focus on the economics if they're too afraid.
Wait, you said you're from Chicago, right? Are you still in Chicago now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there's a place in Chicago called Felony Franks.
Uh-huh.
Like, have you heard about this? Lisa, yeah. You probably heard about this, no? This is no joke.
Place?
It's a hot dog stand.
I know. I have heard of it.
See? Exactly. Lisa had heard of it. It's a hot dog stand, and they only hire, you know, restored citizens,
right,
people who have been convicted of felonies.
Right. We want to encourage people to allow.
I got shanked when I was there, by the way.
Allow people into corporate America at the level at which they are actually capable of being there.
Mm-hmm.
If people have paralegal certificates and master's degrees and bachelor's degrees, they shouldn't be relegated to minimum wage.
Well,
jobs.
Okay. So here's the thing. I have a friend who served 6 years.
Congratulations, by the way.
I do have one, and he went to prison. He did. He literally spent 6 years in prison for some kind of fraud or something.
White collar crime.
White collar. But it was still brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out and he is very frank.
Did he come out like with teardrops, like the teardrop tattoos?
No, but it's interesting. He took on more of a spiritual experience that he had and developed his interior more.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching Orange is the New Black, by the way. I have to admit, I didn't want to get into it, but the wife, you know, was putting it on. And how unrealistic is that show? Have you seen it, Lisa?
You know, I have not seen it.
Keep it that way.
I didn't like the first season, so I never went.
Okay, let's go back another way. How about Prison Break? You've seen that show, right? Can you take us back through the escape? That I want
to
know.
You will have to call me back for.
Oh, my goodness.
But listen, my whole point is that a lot of the times these are the only things that people know about people, unless you're willing to admit that your family or relative or friend is on your couch who is there because they can't get a job. But
well,
and that has to be the case if there are 65 million people, who can't pass
okay,
back.
Okay, so here's one of the things. This guy that I mentioned, he had a wife at home who waited for him, saw him all the time, would mm-hmm. go and visit him. He is now currently an independent contractor for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
so,
what?
So
he actually works for the government now, is what you're saying. And he's got this conviction, and he works for the government.
He's got his life. I think when you talk about the soft skills, mm-hmm. building up their self-esteem, their self-worth, because part of the problem with being in prison, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they have to get these people in control and you're not going to think for yourself. You're going
to bring equilibrium to the balance of power. The whole point of that is that when you come out, your parole officer or your reentry worker is not primarily responsible for your successful reentry. There is an equilibrium of power between yourself, your responsibilities, and their responsibilities. You are primarily responsible for your successful reentry, and everyone else is there to mm-hmm. facilitate you. That's the balance of the equilibrium of power. That I assume the power for my own successful reentry, and anyone else facilitates me, but it's on me.
All right, so, Lisa, do this for me, because I'm really curious, because obviously you're doing amazing work, and I'm sorry for making light of a few different things. This is kind of in my nature. I can't help it. But take us through some of the success stories. Give us a couple of examples of people that you've helped.
Well, there are lots of people who have had, who have been able to go from minimum wage jobs into jobs that were, you know, that had a sustainable wage. We consider that a sustainable living wage is considered the income you need to where you are able to provide for yourself without public or private assistance. And so that's the goal, to not just get people into a job, but get them into a sustainable position. People are not just looking for, the other thing is that all kinds of statistics show that if you hire a person with a felony conviction, you are likely to have a great employee forever, mm-hmm. because they know how hard it is to find another job.
And they probably really appreciate you doing that, for sure.
They appreciate you. They do anything you want. They turn into your best employees and almost never leave.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, can you just name names? Can you give an example of someone who may have had, you know, just a pretty brutal felony conviction on their record, and now they're a restored citizen, and what are they doing?
Well, of course, I'm not going to name names.
Of course you're not.
The only name
examples.
I'm going to name is my own. And so I can tell from my own self that I would be the extreme example of someone who a regular person, quote unquote, might consider their worst nightmare. And yet you wouldn't know it to look at me at this moment or mm-hmm. to know where I'm standing. So I'm my own best example.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the reason that I have the expertise is because I was my own expert. The path that I wanted to walk from where I was to where I am now, I had to create it myself. When I went to people who had not been in, who had not been, had my childhood, who had not walked the path that I walked, even with their best intentions, they couldn't help me. I had to create the path. And so when I look back now and see the other people who could be helped, I offer them the path that I know works because I walked it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? I have another friend. This is all, like, coming to me. A guy that
Congratulations.
No, it's slow. It took
we
me an hour.
Have friends.
I know. I have another friend. I have two now.
It brings me back to a SpongeBob thing, by the way. When he's got his friend who's the bubble, and
yes.
the bubble's in the bathroom for like forever, and SpongeBob says, there's this huge line waiting, right?
Yeah.
And SpongeBob says to the guy behind him, my friend's in there. The guy goes, congratulations. Sorry.
Well,
so your other convict friend, yes?
Yes. He started.
I got to watch myself with you, by the way.
I know.
I didn't realize you had.
Seriously.
So many.
No, this guy built a home in L.A. for prison people coming out of prison, so they kind of like a way for
like
re-entry.
Like a halfway house?
Yeah, I mean, it's a house for these guys. It's only men. And then he built another one down here in Vista.
They call it the YMCA, don't they?
No, they do not.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
A special house. They actually buy the house. They get the furniture for the guys. They have rules. And they help the guys try to find jobs, and
yeah,
like you were saying, Lisa, they get a sustainable lifestyle.
When
I got to tell you, the society has a real.
I'll tell you about Tasty.
Has a real contradiction on who we call regular people too, because a lot of people that we hold up as celebrities and athletes and entertainers, you know, some of the people have felony convictions, and for some reason we don't care about that. But then when the average person on the ground is just trying to pay their bills and feed their kids, we want to hold that against them. While we have people with felony convictions up on our kids' walls because they're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to just
let people
be people. It's a terrible double standard.
Yeah.
You know, lots of people that we consider as celebrities have felony convictions and have done time.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Lisa, really appreciate you being on. I mean, unfortunately,
yeah.
we could do this all day long. Really quick, what's the website? Where do people find out more information
it's
about
Lisa
what you're
Forbes,
doing?
Lisa Forbes, Inc., LisaForbesInc.com, or 720-282-9449. I'm also on Twitter. Give me a call. Check out my website or email me info@lisaforbesinc.com.
All right. Thank
awesome.
You, Lisa,
Thanks
so much.
Thanks so much for being on
Thank
Reinvention Radio. And
I
we will,
it.
Yeah, just appreciate your work. So, wow. What an incredible
dynamo.
Story. I
yeah.
know. She's the
We've
fire in that one. I love it.
Part two with Lisa.
We got to hear about the escape. All right. Well, awesome episode of Reinvention Radio. And we will be back with another episode very, very soon. Talk soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.